as we continue to pray for all those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones, having lost their homes, and well, the earthquake in Haiti, the wildfires in California, the storms that hit the eastern coast, and Tennessee's flooding, and of course our stranded fellow citizens in Afghanistan, and those who are also in danger of losing their life that were translators and involved in helping our countrymen. And so we keep all these things in our prayers and thoughts. And so I wanted us to turn our attention this morning to something that is needed all over the world, and that is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Yes, how many sermons are being preached all around the world today? Well, we hope that they're hearing the gospel. It's a great opportunity for everyone to learn what God would have us to do to be saved. It's unfortunate, however, so many people do not know the purpose of preaching, and that's even including preachers. And so this sermon this morning will be directed right at me, and it would, of course, apply to all preaching from the Word of God. We want to go this morning to Acts chapter 2, as this will be an excellent study for us to determine the purpose of preaching. The first gospel sermon is a great place to start in answering the question, what is the purpose of preaching? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. That is, with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern. John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, the opportunity to have a Bible study is greatly desired. And if you're interested in that, please contact us. We'll furnish you a Bible if needed. And that's a great opportunity to see what God would have us to do in order to be a Christian and live faithfully even unto death. Something else, your questions, Bible questions, and of course your comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. So you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Also our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. One other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study as we answer the question, what is the purpose of preaching? And so we want to go to Acts chapter 2, as this is the day of Pentecost, as you can see, verse 1. And it had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. That is, the 11 apostles numbered. Matthias was the one to replace Judas. Thus, he was numbered with the 11. Back in verse 26 of chapter 1. That is the they that is being referred to. So, as they were waiting, as Jesus had told them in Jerusalem, you can see that the Holy Spirit began to fill them and give them power. They were able to speak with other tongues, that is, languages that they had never studied. Verse 4. And you see that present there were devout men out of every nation under heaven. Verse 5. They were hearing in their own language. Verse 6. And they were marveled. These are Galileans. Verse 7. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Then you have there in verse 8 and going through verse 11, the different places they were from. And they were hearing the apostles speak in their own languages, the wonderful works of God. And of course, they were amazed. But you see, some are saying mockingly that they're full of new wine. And this, of course, was not the case. So we find then Peter standing up with the 11, verse 14, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all that dwell in at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." Now we're going to get to the preaching of God's word in Acts chapter 2. Yes, this is the day of Pentecost, the day the church began right in Jerusalem. And so, verse 14, Peter answers the mockers, "These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, about 9 o'clock. Now, here as we begin to answer what is the purpose of preaching is very clear here in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." So, one of the purposes of preaching is to discuss and explain Scripture. Yes, well, this is certainly a purpose of preaching, but this is that. Yes, the Holy Spirit immersed them. They were baptized with the power of the third person of the Godhead. That enabled them to speak in languages they've never studied. And so you see then, Peter refers back to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, but this is that. As you begin with verse 17, you'll see Peter is quoting from Joel and explaining it. So as you see what happened, it's what Joel prophesied, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." Figurative language, isn't it? "Before the great and noble day of the Lord come." And this is that day. This is that, Peter said. "And it shall come to pass," notice verse 21, "that whosoever shall call on the name," that is the authority of the Lord, "shall be saved." And so Peter, in his sermon, yes, he is discussing and explaining Scripture. And you'll see as you go on, about 25 verses here in Peter's sermon, there are 12 verses of direct quotations from the Old Testament. So you see, Peter was not giving a talk of how he thought about various topics. He's not telling a lot of entertaining stories as some do. Well, you might give an illustration, you know, that of interest. But you know what I'm saying, where there are some preachers, that's all they're doing is telling entertaining stories. But you see, Peter is doing what? He's giving a "thus saith the Lord." That's the kind of preaching we need, isn't it? This is one of the purposes of preaching, to discuss and explain Scripture. As you go back to Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 8. "So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading." So that's what Peter's doing. Yes, he quoted and gave the sense. And this is true of other inspired preachers, such as Stephen's sermon. As you go over to Acts chapter 7, it's filled with references to the Old Testament. And it cost Stephen his life. As we know, he was stoned to death. But the Lord was concerned, as you see him standing, yes, at the right hand of God the Father. Well, Philip, here's another example. When teaching the Ethiopian eunuch, where did he begin? In Acts 8, verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture." That's where he began, and preached unto him Jesus, the Ethiopian eunuch riding in his chariot. He must have had a driver as he's sitting there reading. Is reading from Isaiah 53, and he wanted to know who was being spoken of. It was Christ, the whole chapter. And that's where Philip began preaching unto him Jesus. Now, when you preach Jesus, you're going to preach baptism, because the eunuch said, "See, heareth water, what doth hinder me from being baptized?" Well, he needed to make the good confession. Then Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him into Christ for the remission of his sins. He went on his way rejoicing. Excuse me. So again, you see an example where Philip began at the same scripture. Now I want to mention here in Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark 16, 15. Notice verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, why is it that so many denominational preachers want to try to explain away verse 16? And they will say something to the effect, "Well, it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. It doesn't say that." Well, they're right. It doesn't need to say that. Of course it doesn't say that, because if you don't believe, you're not going to repent. If you don't believe, you're not going to confess that Jesus is the Christ. If you don't believe, you're certainly not going to be baptized. So why try to explain away what was said in the first part of the verse? "He that believeth," and the conjunction, "and baptized shall be," what? Saved. So they go together, and the result of believing and being baptized is being saved. Now, why try to explain that away? It's too clear, and no one should miss it. So let's, again, appreciate the fact that a purpose of preaching is to discuss and explain Scripture. And that's what Peter and the other apostles were doing. But let's go on and notice now verses 22 through 36, as we'll pick back up with Peter's sermon. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." They couldn't deny it. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Notice that. God knew what was going to happen. "Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David," in verse 25, "for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul," the King James has hell, but this would be referring to Hades, the realm of the dead, "neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Jesus, of course, would be resurrected on the third day. He told the thief, "Today I will be with thee in paradise." That's the Hadean realm. That's where Jesus went. "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." So David's body's still in the tomb. He wasn't resurrected like Jesus was the third day. Now, verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet," David was a prophet, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins," the seed line of Christ, yes, coming through David's line, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That would be, of course, in heaven. Now notice, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, of course, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. That's where the throne of God is, you see. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36. Therefore, here's the conclusion. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The purpose of preaching is to present the Christ as man's only hope of salvation. Peter clearly proved that Jesus was the Christ, who the Jews had crucified. Yes, with the hands of the Romans, of course, carrying it out. In the first century, gospel preachers fully preached Christ. And therefore, what should we be doing today as gospel preachers? Doing the same, of course, preaching Christ fully. So gospel preachers are to preach Christ's authority. He was given all authority, as you know, in Matthew 28:18. Notice Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is his authority, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In Acts 4:12, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other authority under heaven. So we must preach Christ's authority. And as gospel preachers, we are to preach Christ as our example. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Before we jump into something or say something we're not sure about, what would Jesus do? That's a good way to help us out, isn't it? To ask ourselves that question. Preach Christ as our example. And then, as gospel preachers, we need to preach Christ as the Savior. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Yes, it's his body, and he's the Savior of it, and we need to preach it. And then also, we need to, as gospel preachers, to preach Christ so that the people's attention will be focused on Christ, not on ourselves as the preacher. Of course not. We need to hide behind the cross. 1 Corinthians 3:5-6, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's right. Let us never forget that. John 6:44-45, no man come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's right. Who needs to be in the forefront? Christ, not the preacher. Again, we must hide behind the cross and preach Christ fully. And then finally, as gospel preachers, we need to emphasize the grace, fully emphasize the grace and mercy of God through Christ. And of course, we need to be preaching all the principles of the gospel and especially about the second coming, to be prepared for that great day when it comes. Notice Titus 2, 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That is, it's available to all, but we must do something to receive it. Notice, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So let's preach, yes, God's mercy and grace is through Christ, and look forward if we're prepared for the second coming, because it's certainly coming and we know not when that shall be. Well, let's go on and answer again the question, what is the purpose of preaching? And as we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, you see, as Peter came to that conclusion, very strong conclusion, that they had crucified Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, in their hearts, pricked in their hearts. Yes, and thus, this is a purpose of preaching, to disturb the audience. You see, Peter was not preaching in such a way that the Jews felt satisfied in their sin and error. Well, sad to say, there are a lot of preachers that do that still today. Yes, smoothing over things. Just, boy, they can talk the ears off a wooden Indian. They're such smooth talkers. But they're not preaching in such a way that people are realizing they're in sin. That's the point. The purpose of preaching is to disturb the audience. And Peter followed the pattern of Christ. As you go to Matthew 21, 45, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. He did. But he spoke the truth in love. Matthew 21, 45. Yes, these Pharisees did not accept the preaching of Christ, but they got the point, and they were in sin and needed to get out of it. Peter got the point across to Simon of Samaria about his sin. As you go to Acts 8, 21 through 23, remember how he wanted to purchase the laying on of the apostles' hands to pass on the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit? He wanted to purchase that ability. Well, that was wrong, and he needed to repent and pray for forgiveness. Peter got to the point, didn't he? Yes, and certainly preachers need to do so today. But let's go on. The purpose of preaching is to cause people to think and ask questions. Men and brethren, what shall we do? There it is in 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why is it some preachers get upset if you ask them a question? We should be happy when people want to learn God's will. Of course, let us go on. You see in verse 41, another purpose of preaching is to cause people to receive the word of God. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's right. We should want people to receive the word of God. Have love in our hearts for every soul which is worth more than all the world. But let's go on. Notice now verse 38. The purpose of preaching is to tell people, yes, to tell people how to be saved and to be added to the body of Christ. Notice that, be added to the body of Christ. Peter told them what to do to be saved. And when they obeyed the truth, the Lord added them to his church. Acts 2:47. But notice what Peter told them to do. They already believed. They understood they crucified the Christ. So Peter told them to repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority. For what purpose, Peter? For the remission of sins. That's the forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So that's the purpose of preaching, to tell people how to be saved and certainly how to be added to the body of Christ, not to join some man-made church. That's not what the scriptures teach. We're added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself when we obey the gospel. There's one body, Ephesians 4:4. Jesus promised to build his church, singular, Matthew 16:18. And so we need to be telling people what they must do to be saved and speak about the one true church, which so many are not doing. And we asked, why not? Are we not concerned about preaching the truth? We must be to please God. The preaching that causes people to join some religious group is not the kind of preaching that God demands, because the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, when we obey the gospel. But notice Acts 2:44 and 46, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Thus a purpose of preaching is to produce unity, not divide it all up, singleness of heart. The apostles were preaching the same doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, verse 42. That, of course, is the doctrine of Christ. Why do some preachers divide congregations as they preach hobbies rather than the whole counsel of God? Acts 20:27. Another purpose of preaching is to help Christians grow. Yes, they continued. Notice that, continued steadfastly. We must continue in the Word of God, in the doctrine of Christ. And then finally, the purpose of preaching is to produce complete surrender to the Lord. Notice there in verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Are we giving of ourselves? Are we daily sacrificing as we know in Romans 12:1? Therefore, my beloved brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. We want to be doing that every day, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Christ, yes, daily, as the scriptures tell us. And so this sermon, yes, has been directed right at me, but I hope it has helped us all to appreciate what God has revealed to us concerning the purpose of preaching. The kind of preaching which was done in the first century is the kind of preaching that pleases God. Thus saith the Lord, and it will turn this world upside down. The Word of God is powerful and can change our lives. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. That's the power that we need to be proclaiming, the gospel of Christ. And we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel if you've not done so. Hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, make the good confession unto salvation. Now you're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, where we contact the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, and he will add us to his body, the true church. We thank you so much for listening today.